Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again, it is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars and trucks go around the racetrack. So glad you joined us. Steve Post, Pit Road Reporter here on the Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm great. Awesome weekend. Man. I mean, Labor Day weekend, Southern 500.
I think the older I get, the more of these races I cover. I've always loved the Southern 500, but I was thinking that riding home on Sunday night, I love this race more now than I ever have in the past.
No, I was riding home Monday morning.
Or Monday morning. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love Darlington, and I've been on both sides of this. You know, my career up until 2011 was the Busch Series. Yeah. Nationwide, Xfinity, whatever
right,
you want
exactly,
to
yeah.
I'm an old Busch guy, right? But you always went to Darlington, and this is a place that the race was too short.
Right.
It was 147 laps. If you made a mistake, you were done. You had to be on it from lap one. It seemed like it was just such a, gotta get it done. It was like it was like a Saturday night feature race.
Yeah.
And then cup racing, this is a grind. It's 4 hours of racing. I mean, I think this is more intense than the Coke 600.
Yeah.
Because it's 500 miles, but it's 500 miles where you're going to pit 8 times at least.
Right. For sure.
You're going to run 2 feet off the wall every lap. Like it's just right there. It's, I think, the ultimate test and a great way to kick off the playoff.
It really, truly is. And it's such a team sport. And you talked about it last week and you talked about it on our broadcast. This thing tests every facet of the car. You've got to unload good. You've got to do everything right. And boy, I am telling you what, we saw all kinds of challenges for a lot of the playoff teams.
You look through the playoffs and I've got 10 teams that got storylines out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, there's a couple that were kind of under the radar, but Brad Keselowski put together a great race.
I know. And they did, yeah.
Qualified pretty well, ran up there. The only thing that they had was they pitted late, put tires on, made it a little interesting there, but there were so many that had big storylines. The one car, we can get into all of them, but
that's my first note right there.
The one car, I actually, and I'll own it. When I put it out, first four out and the four championship teams, I had the one car out in the first round. And at lap 50, I'm thinking,
you're right on the mark with that one.
I'm seeing what I thought.
Yep.
And the recovery to a top 10 finish.
Yeah, fifth place finish.
And honestly, the drive that Ross had, I think, is we can look back at the end of this and say that the drive that Ross had and his teammate in stage one is a defining moment of staying in a playoff.
Yes.
Kept himself, he got a lap down, he figured out pace, he got where he could kind of match with the leaders, and he kept himself in that free pass position. And then Daniel Suarez drove his guts out for the last five laps
to stay on
the lead lap so that Ross was still the free pass guy. I mean, the drive by Daniel was not lost on me.
Yeah, lap 30, how this started downhill, lap 32, Ross slid through the pit box, had to back up, which put him way behind the eight ball. And I agree with you. I loved Ross's comments. What more did you need at the end? I needed this to be a 1,000-mile race because I had him right where I wanted him. You know? But you're right. What a drive. And I think, and that's what the notes that I made, we you're right. There, everybody had challenges, a little bit of a struggle, but two teams in particular overcame the challenges and came out of there with very respectable days. Where at one point in the game, you're like, oh, they're in trouble. That one car, and then Bubba Wallace and Booty Barker.
Yes.
End of stage number one, sliding up the racetrack. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'll put a third one behind that, but let's talk about Booty. And really, when you looked at this, they came into this place. They'd had that grind of getting to the right, being that last car and racing. Even Daytona didn't know where you're going to be. Bubba makes a mistake. Yeah. End of stage one, he's trying to pass Joey Logano for 11th. There's no points attached to that. Ends up into Joey, up into the wall a little bit of right front damage, not a lot. Booty did a good job of hand managing the situation. I thought to myself, this is bad. They've unwound their progress already. This is that where it can fall down. I thought Booty came on the radio and did a really good job of managing it. Let's get focused back on. I thought he did a great job of it. And they continued from that point forward. They just put themselves in position and came out with a solid finish.
Seventh place finish.
I was another one defining moment of making this race into something that it wasn't at lap 115.
Yeah. Those are a couple of come off. Who else stands out to you?
The victim of that move.
Yes.
Joey Logano.
Right.
Paul Wolf got up. They got pinched in the wall, got some left side damage from Bubba into him. I mean, they hit the wall decently to the point that they were a second off the pace after that. When we went green for stage two, they were a second off. And every pit stop that came down pit road, worked on it. They came down pit road, they measured on it. When they went a lap down, when they got the lucky dog, free pass, whatever you want to call it, they came to pit road every lap of that caution. They must have come down 6, 7, 8 times and continued to work on their car and got themselves to a point where they had a top 15 car at the end and they got the pace back in it, recovered their day, kept themselves in a decent position. It could have been a catastrophe and it ended up being all right.
Yeah. I just think that's one there where they overcame a lot. They really did with that. And I forgot about not having their pit. I remember, but now that you say that, I remember that 22. It's like every time he's driving down pit road, I'm like, what in the wide world of sports is going on there?
I'd love to see how many times he stopped the pit box.
Yeah.
I bet you it was 20. maybe I'm a little off, but I bet it was close to 20. They continue to work on their stuff. And that's that never quit attitude that Paul Wolf has and Joey Logano, I know, has.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we're going to keep working on this. And they kept digging on it. And they got to the point where they could run in the top 15 and made a decent day out of a really poor situation.
Yeah.
And he had decent pace before that. I mean, he was running, I think, 11th when Bubba got up into him. Right. They'd fallen off. They were up in the top 10. They'd fallen off a little bit on that longer run that ended stage two. Another one. Randall Burnett, Kyle Busch, hit the wall in practice, bent a toe link.
Right.
They changed the toe link, but that's not an approved adjustment. So that means you can change it, but it's an unapproved adjustment. You're going to start in the back. I talked to Randall before the race, and he was, we'll be all right. We've recovered. That's one thing I think this team's done a great job. And I said to him, I said, Chicago, I wrote you off. What was it, lap 6? You're stuffed underneath the tire barrier. Came back to finish top 5.
Yeah.
I just you guys can recover. And he said, yeah, of all places, we got enough pit stops. We got enough pit opportunities here on pit road. And they did. They drove themselves forward. They got themselves. They got a points day out of it. A positive day in the points situation.
Yeah, no doubt. Fascinating stuff. Let's go to the front of the field. The more I watch Kyle Larson and Cliff Daniels, the more I just marvel at the pairing of these two. And if you know my background, you know the dirt track background. Yeah. I put Kyle Larson in a sprint car, a dirt late model, and I'm watching that every night of the week because he's that good. He's pretty darn good in a cup car, obviously, as well. What I love about this is when Kyle smacks the wall, and he smacked the wall good, he's done in his mind.
Yes.
He's done. And Cliff Daniels' message to him is, Kyle, everybody here, every other driver, every other crew member, everybody in the stands know you can win the race. There's one person on the property right now that doesn't think you can win the race, and that's you. What are we going to do about it?
Well, he did it a couple times.
Yeah.
Hit the wall, lost some pace.
Yeah.
Took him 3 or 4 laps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Got back in the rhythm. Yeah. I think he's done it. Yeah.
I love that dynamic there where Cliff's pep talks.
And they're so monotone.
They are, I know. But Cliff's pep talks work for Kyle, and that's all they have to work for.
Yep.
Cliff's pep talks don't have to work for anybody else, but it's that combination. It was the early Chad and Jimmy. You know, late Chad and Jimmy probably fell off. The same pep talk wasn't working the way it was early. Yeah. But the Cliff and the Cliff and Kyle pep talk. And then what I love about it is when you'll have one of those pep talks, and then it'll be about 20 seconds, and then Kyle, okay. And then it's like, okay, watch this, folks, because this is going to be good. They, you know, Kyle, there probably was a little damage to the race car, but Kyle indicated in victory lane it was probably more tire, just they scrubbed the tires off as much as anything else. And once they got the car going, they were rolling at the end again.
Mm-hmm. He sounded like he thought he overheated the tires, which at Darlington, you're constantly overheating the tires.
Yeah,
That's where this place is so tough, is that you just work the tires so hard. And no grip racetrack, and when you do, you overheat the compound and it doesn't recover.
Right.
When you look at these tires, and I'll go back to the Gen 6 cars when I actually did test there, but the tires they're 300 degrees in the middle of the corner. They're
really?
Oh yeah. There's a 100-degree swing in the tire. If you look back, we had infrared temperature sensors back when we tested there, and you'd see 300 degrees, and that's rubber doesn't work up that high. The grip in the tire is down at like 190 degrees. That's right. Where it wants to be.
So when it spikes in the middle of the corner,
that's what's killing it. And if you slide it harder, it's a bigger spike. So it takes time to cool that tire back down to get where you want to be.
The highs and lows are higher and don't come down as much.
Yeah. So it's crazy what you can see at this place. And just, he understands beating up a tire. He comes back. A great show at the end.
Yeah.
And then if we want to talk about issues, my heart breaks for the 4 car.
Oh my gosh! Because that's a what do you do?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, we can get into it. I thought Rodney made a great call. Kevin got to him. He's right there. You're in second. You want to call him as late as possible so that the other crew chief can't react and get him to pit road. And Rodney did that. He got him to the middle of backstretch to entering turn three and called him pit. Billy Scott's scanning this, and
that's exactly what happened.
Yep. He tells Tyler Reddick to pit from the wall.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, Ryan Newman spun, Tyler Reddick wrecked him.
Right. Right.
That,
exactly.
You can't pit from that wall, and you can't try to pit from that wall. Like, if Joey Logano's driving that car, he's going to key the radio on the front stretch and say, no way, dude, that was too late.
That was,
we can't. And fortunately, Ryan Newman avoided him because he
could have taken
Tyler out at that point. And that's, Kevin's committed to coming to pit road. I don't think they could do anything different. William Byron was two or three car lengths behind him and just missed the commitment box. Yeah. The only thing in that whole piece that I feel like Rodney and Tim Fedewood didn't handle the communication once they were on pit road of. Did we beat the light or not? Because Tim, and I listened back to the audio, Tim actually counted him in like 3, 2, 1, stay out. So I know Tim actually saw the light, but the communication between those two, they should have rolled through pit road. And I don't think that it's a 10 second. Process.
Oh gosh. No,
I mean, you got 10 seconds to process it, get the information, make a decision.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be overly critical.
Yeah, it's easy for us after watching videotape, slow-mo video, mm-hmm. slow-mo video. It's real easy for us to see with it,
Yeah, the Monday morning quarterback is easy on this one. But I really feel like Kevin was the car to beat.
Yeah, because the way he was rolling at that point, and then we know how Kevin is at the end of these races. He earned the nickname the closer. Mm-hmm. He was getting ready to close one up.
Yes.
And boy, what a quirky, weird way to have one get away from you.
Yeah. Tough. And I look at it, if they did roll through pit road, kind of did a breakdown of this with Steve Letard. And if they roll through pit road, they're probably going to be 12th, 13th.
Yeah.
If they just roll straight through. I think they live to fight another day. I don't think they win the race, but I think they can come out of there with a top five.
Yeah.
Instead of coming to pit road and the pit box, and the people probably miss this, but it's a tail end penalty. So it's not only did you get 26, but you're 26 starting behind every lap down car.
Right, all of the way the lap,
so,
lap
so down. So you've got to get another caution before you can cycle in front of the lap down cars to go race people for 25th.
Who matter? Yeah.
So it just buries you so deep in the field, and it's such a tough situation there. But a tough call to make in 10 seconds. But really, I thought they handled it well. Tyler didn't do it on purpose, but. A really poor decision on Tyler's part to try to come to pit road, caused the caution.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, at that point. Of course, he just dealt with Ryan Newman. He was... That was an interesting part of the race as well.
But that's Ryan Newman.
No doubt.
I don't care if that's a leader behind you, that's a guy that's four laps
down. If you think he's going to wave at you and wave you by, you are not paying attention. You've not been paying attention for 20 years.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, so. That is classic stuff. Ryan
Newman. Yeah, good stuff. Anything else specifically jump through other than we're all rolling off, and we'll talk a little bit about Kansas when we come back, but anything else jump out to you there when we look back at Darlington?
I think it was interesting with the Hendrick cars and the change that they had from when the sunlight was out to when the sun set. I mean, obviously we looked at it, three Toyotas, the front three spots, the next seven were Fords were Fords. Cause I think Kyle Busch ended up 11th. And the Hendrick cars really qualified kind of poorly.
Yeah.
But as soon as the sun went down, you saw the 24 come to the front. The five was working his way forward.
Right.
Even on the sun, the five worked his, Kyle Larson had worked his way forward, I think into the 15th spot or something like that. Chase Elliott drove forward.
Right.
I mean, they looked pretty good once they got this place to nighttime. And I think that's where they focused on. A good performance by the Hendrick group to put themselves in a good position. I think when you look at the whole playoff points, the one piece I want to talk about, Denny Hamlin. Mm. And I hate to kind of extend this, but Denny Hamlin dominated on Saturday.
Yep.
Denny Hamlin, after Christopher Bell made a mistake, because Christopher Bell was the best race car.
Yep.
But Christopher, when they went long and at the second stop of stage one, trying to make up for it, a great drive from 10 seconds back to 2.5 seconds back. I mean, a great drive forward. But when you're running that hard, you're going to jump the fence, and he jumped the fence and hit the fence.
Yep.
But from that point on, Denny dominated. One stage one, one stage two. Had a wheel issue and a green flag pit stop. It was debatable where it was. I trust a 50-time winner.
Yes, absolutely.
And the call there, what he felt is what he felt. So, but that win in stage one and stage two.
Boy, that was huge.
Netted him actually positive versus the cut line come end of the race. So, just great storylines and great recoveries by different people.
That's what I noticed was the great recoveries. It really was. That race is a grind, as you talked about at the top. That is a long night. And boy, when in the first third of the race or the first quarter of the race or the first 10% of the race, you're already upside down like Ross Chastain was, to be able to come back, that just shows that shows the grit. That's playoff grit is what it is. Before we get out of here, we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll come back and talk about Kansas. Do you want to salute the Hendrick Engine Shop 500 wins? In the spirit of the great Randy Dorton, who was the engine builder that kind of designed the whole model that they've done. I know there's a lot of pride over at the Hendrick camp, as there should be for 500 wins. That's an impressive number of wins for an engine shop.
Yeah, milestone. Definitely a milestone.
Definitely. That is for sure. And to do it at Southern 500.
And they're $299 on the car side.
Car side.
So next one will be a milestone on the car side.
Yes, it will. That is for sure. So we're going to do this. Let's step away for a moment. When we come back, we will talk about Kansas. That's coming up this weekend.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at zonepouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, and we go from one we don't have a wide racetrack in Darlington, but we have one up against the fence. But
we ripped the wall at one place, and we're going to another place, and we're going to rip the wall again.
Yeah, exactly. Kansas Speedway, boy, I'll tell you another great spot on the tour, and can't wait to see what we have this weekend.
Yeah, I love this place. Progressive banking, 17 to 20 degrees. You know, it seems like there's a bigger change at that last seam.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 17, 18, 20. So they're when you look at the place, when you look at the lines of where the asphalt's laid and the seam sealer, where you kind of the banking changes wherever the paving company changed there. So
right.
When you can jump on top of that last seam, a good place. A really cool racetrack. I love this place because early in a run, you can rip around the bottom for a lap or two or three.
Right.
And then you're going to see everybody get plastered to the wall. And the reason 2311 won both these races last year was because they didn't have to be plastered to the wall to make speed.
Right.
I noticed it in the spring race with Kurt. He could make speed with his left sides just above that last seam where he was in the 20 degree banking, but not stuck on a wall. And when he could do that, he could take advantage of people because once somebody's on the wall, you can't pass them if you can't get off the wall.
Right. Exactly. So who's going to get their car working somewhere down the racetrack a little bit further over the course of a run?
That's the piece I would look for in the 20-minute practices. Is who, and that's the piece I saw in the spring race last year. Likewise, in the fall race, and it'll be interesting because I think Bubba ran pretty well in the spring.
Yep,
Bubba won this race in the fall
last year.
And I think he's got a good shot again. I think the Toyotas, I mean, the Toyotas have shown lately that in intermediate stuff, they're good. This has been a place that the Toyotas have run really well. You know, Billy Scott won this with Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a little critical. I don't know that Tyler runs off the wall as well as he needs to.
Yeah.
I think Tyler will be glued to the wall and make speed up there. I just don't know if he can win by being glued to the wall.
Right.
So
is he going to be willing to come down and work on that?
Yes. Yeah. It's something different for him. But because when you think about the guys that run the wall, they ran 1-2 last week.
Right.
I mean, two of the three
ran
1-2. And I think those two will be factors again this week.
But
it'd be interesting to see who can get themselves off the wall and make speed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When we look at the playoffs, Bubba, it's very, very tight. Well, you know, the only one that's in deep soup as far as the points go is Michael McDowell, and that's 19.
Yeah,
that's manageable. It's manageable, but they're going to have to start it. But it's tough. It's going to be tough for that team to do that and go out and bully their way into stage points and work their way forward.
Yeah, they're not going to put themselves where they can drive themselves forward. They need help from four other teams.
Right.
I love what they've been able to build here at Front Row. And Michael McDowell has been the cornerstone of that. You know, did a great job with Blake last year, brought Travis Peterson over, actually kind of handpicked him, brought him over. They've done a really good job. The piece is that, you know, the road course races, we come to pit road twice. And that's under green. Right. And those penalties of where you lose track position there, they're not that significant. But now we get to Darlington, where you've got eight times you got to come to pit road. Kansas, you've got a fair amount of lap time degradation. Another place you're going to come to pit road multiple times. I just don't see this team overcoming and rattling out two top fives.
Right, which is what they're going to need to do.
Which is what they'll have to do coming forward. I don't see it happening. I may be proven wrong. I've been wrong before, but I feel like without four teams having catastrophic events, they're probably going to be accident.
To me, they needed to be the one that had flawless top 10, top 12 finishes, and they put themselves behind the eight ball, and I'm not sure they can.
And that's not their doing. They got caught up in somebody else's
run. Yeah, that's it too. It's
not their doing, but it's they needed a perfect. They needed a perfect playoff to get to round of 12, and I just they don't have it so far.
Right. I agree. I agree with that. Everyone else is in the mix. I mean, we've got Larson obviously going through but it's just fascinating to me that, you know, there's Logano was up by three, Christopher Bell is up by one, Bubba's down by one, Harvick is down by two, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. down by four. Just gonna be fascinating to see how everyone manages stage points in this thing, how everyone does anything is it tight right around that bubble spot.
It is. It is, and it's gonna be, I think that Kansas will create some separation, but you still hold on because Bristol's an unknown.
Yeah.
People can get wrecked early. I mean,
you gotta
get everything you can. So as you're coming into the stage and there's opportunities, you gotta be scoring in that group. You have to be scoring stage points.
You do. You do. When we look at this first round, you think Darlington, Bristol, there's your wild card races. Historically, Kansas has turned this thing upside down.
Well, and one of the things at Kansas is the teams figured out, and this was last year. Actually, they had a homestead test before we went to Kansas last fall.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And everybody figured out that the lower I can run my right rear air pressure, the lower I can put the diffuser, the more downforce I can make. And then it just became, okay, who's got the guts? Who's got the guts? Who's willing to risk more to get more? And then you find the guys that stepped over the edge. And between camber and air pressure, there was some sensitivity there. And there's just so much payoff for for that, that you want to walk that kind of razor's edge of how aggressive can I be? It's not a Goodyear tire issue.
No. It's
how aggressive I'm going to be as a crew chief and how much risk I'm willing to take to get the reward of making more downforce.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. It could be very interesting.
Or we'll see who Chris Wilner talks to at the care center. You know, I mean, it just is. It's just, I love this. I love this first round. I love this with Bristol coming up, with Kansas, with Darlington. This is.
Couldn't kick off the playoffs better.
I don't know that you could craft a better first round.
In the first race at Darlington, that's like
the first round. The first race at Darlington is unreal. So good stuff.
And ending at Bristol, a place that, you know, really by the end of the race, probably be up there running the wall again.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have three wall races.
Yeah.
It's a great round. It's a great round.
How going back a little bit to Darlington, but going back, you mentioned Bristol last year. Chris Buescher was the winner of this race.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a team that just really right now is looking extremely solid.
If you were to ask me to rank the organizations, I would say JGR, RFK, Hendrick. And I put them in that order.
I'm with you on that.
I'd put them in that order. I know people will say Williams won 5 and Kyle just won.
It's where they're at now.
Brad and Chris are top 5 weekly.
All the time.
I mean, it's not, you don't see RFK have a 15th place run. They just haven't done it in 2 months.
Yeah.
Where you see the guys, you know, the other organizations, I think and if you look at the points, I mean, JGR is strong. I think Toyota's done a really good job with where they, with the body they've got. And I feel like their motor program's pretty good right now.
Yeah.
But Brad and Chris,
They're always up front and they're together and we talk about they work together at Daytona, but there was a restart at Darlington where again, Brad nearly pushed Chris right to the front spot.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a team that is just insane.
They're really special right now.
On all aspects. Yeah.
And I mean, it's not just a week or two.
No.
It's been 2 months.
Yeah.
And so I would say that I'll stand by it.
RFK
say JGR, just the potential that Martin and Denny have shown.
I won't
even say all of them, but.
Yeah, those two specific.
Those two
just with all of their experience, they're really, really, they're Hall of Famers.
I have those two in my final four and Martin winning it.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it all plays out. But the RFK guys, honestly, I think Brad was leading that race when he had a tire failure.
Chris
ended up winning it.
Right.
At Bristol last year.
Yeah.
So,
Brad's line was never been so pissed off going to victory lane in my life.
Yes.
It's good stuff. It really is. So, it is going to be fun. Kansas this weekend, Friday night, 6 o'clock, the Arca Menards Series, the Sioux Chief 150, 8 o'clock, NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Kansas Lottery 200, Saturday, noon Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series, practice and qualifying, 2:30, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Kansas Lottery 300. That will be the finale of the regular season for the Xfinity Series. Going back to the Truck Series, it'll be the end of round number one for the Truck Series. So, a lot of playoff talk all weekend long, and then on Sunday, 2 o'clock, the Hollywood Casino 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series Motor Racing Network in Kansas all weekend long. It'll be a fun time, that's for sure.
A great weekend of racing.
Yes, it really truly is. So, hey, we appreciate you joining us here this time on Crew Call. He's Todd Gordon. I'm Steve Post. Thanks again. We'll see you next time here on MRN's Crew Call.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.